वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय रीडिंग फ्रॉम द श्रीमद् भागवतम Canto 8, Chapter 1. Could we get a little more volume on the microphone? Otherwise, I'm going to have to be straining my voice. This doesn't have. If anybody knows how to do that, just a little bit higher. Thank you. Again, Canto 8, Chapter 1, Text 14, and the title of this chapter is The Manus, Administrators of the Universe. Because we're a little short on time, I'm going to go right into the verse right now. Atagre rishaya karman ihante karma hetave ihamano hi purusha prayo niham prabhadyate Tagre Rishaya Karmanang Ihante Karma Hetave Ihamano Hi Purusha Prayo Niham Prabhadyate Atagre Rishaya Karman Ihante Karma Hetave Ihamano hi purusha prayo niham prabhadyate Prabhadyate Tagre Rishaya Karman Ihante Karma Hetave Ihamano Hi Purusha Prayo Niham Prabhadyate Ladies, please. Atha, therefore, Agre, in the beginning, Rishaya, all learned rishis, saintly persons, karmani, fruitive activities, ihante, execute, akarma, freedom from fruitive results, hetave, for the purpose of, ihamana, engaging in such activities, he, indeed, purusha, a person, praya, almost always, aniham, liberation from karma, prabhadyate, attains. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki. Translation. Therefore, to enable people to reach the stage of activities that are not tinged by fruit of results, great saints first engage people in fruit of activities, for unless one begins by performing activities as recommended in the Shastras, one cannot reach the stage of liberation or activities that produce no reactions. Please repeat. Therefore, to enable people to reach the stage of activities that are not tinged by fruit of results, great saints first engage people in fruit of activities. For unless one begins by performing activities as recommended in the Shastras, one cannot reach the stage of liberation or activities that produce no reactions. Purport. In Bhagavad Gita 3.9, Lord Krishna advises, Yagyartat karmano niyatra loko yam karma bandana, which means, quote, work done as a sacrifice for Vishnu has to be performed. Otherwise, work binds one to this material world, unquote. Generally, everyone is attracted to hard labor for becoming happy in this material world. But although various activities are going on all over the world simply for the sake of happiness, unfortunately, only problems are being created from such fruitive activities. So sometimes devotees, they have trouble with this expression that Srila Prabhupada uses in many of his purports, and that's the word fruitive. It is in the dictionary, but it's not a commonly used word in our English parlance. How many of us don't know the meaning of fruitive? Don't know the meaning. Everybody knows? I don't see any hands up. I'm going to call on you, so you're going to have to give me a definition. I'm serious. You don't get thrown out for being unknowledgeable here. Okay? So everybody knows the meaning of fruitive. Right? Okay. You don't know? You know the meaning of it. Bhakti Fatshalt, please tell us the meaning of fruitive. Yeah, but what kind of fruits does Srila Prabhupada specifically have in mind? Of what? Yeah, but he has something particular in mind. Yeah, anything which yields some type of sense gratification. So, in other words, fruit, generally, we look for a sweet fruit, a pleasurable fruit. So, therefore, a fruit of activity is an activity which is devoted to or dedicated to obtaining a pleasurable fruit, which could be many, many things. It could be it's trying to achieve beauty or wealth or strength or influence or power or knowledge, material knowledge. It could be anything which brings some particular material pleasure. That's the whole idea there. And Srila Prabhupada, whenever he uses the term fruitive activities, he's really referring to it in a pejorative, in a way in which it is frowned upon, not desirable. So a fruitive activity, and generally people who work in the material world strive for fruitive results. They want a pleasure. But the pleasure is for whom? For themselves. And so this verse that I just read a few moments ago, work done as a sacrifice for Vishnu must be performed. Otherwise, work causes bondage in this material world. Therefore, perform your prescribed duty for his satisfaction. And in that way, you'll be freed from the bondage to work. So, in other words, what is being said just in this first paragraph is that people are miserable, people are unhappy, people are unsettled, people are disturbed because they're always working for fruitive results, a pleasure for oneself, one's tongue, one's ear, one's eye, one's nose, one's skin, one's genitals, me, 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 I, mine, mine, mine. We may do it with courtesy, we may do it with friendliness, we may do it sophistication. It all looks very friendly and very nice, but underneath, it's for me. In other words, I butter you up, I pat you on the back, I praise you, I glorify you, I honor you, and it all seems so innocent, but it's for one purpose, so that I can become number one. That's why we've come into this material world, to not be number two, three, four, or five, but we want to be number one. And many people have nervous breakdowns when they can't reach number one. It's unfortunate. And sometimes they even take it out on their kids. You know, they put their kids in the Little League, and if they don't win the championship, then they don't want to talk to the kids. It's because what they're doing is because they have not achieved the number one position. Consequently, they then want to achieve it through their children, because their children is an extension of their own bodies. Consequently, if the child doesn't do that, then the parent still feels like number 10, 12, 13, or 14, and who wants that? Everybody wants one. So it's a horrible situation, and if you're not up to standard or up to par, then what happens is that you feel that you're not achieving what you're supposed to. Actually, we're all originally spiritual living entities. We're all originally Krishna conscious in the eternal world. However, at some point in eternity, we decided we no longer wanted to serve Krishna, but wanted to taste what it's like, wanted to feel what it's like to be a Lord, to be glorified, to be honored, to be applauded, to be bowed down to, just as Krishna is. So what does that feel like? Well, when you're in the eternal world, you know, you're glorifying, you're honoring, you're serving, you're bowing down, and you love every moment of it because, sanctioned, you love every moment of it because Krishna is reciprocating. He's not just a taker. He's far from that. Whatever you give, he gives back 10 times worth. So you're never the loser when you give to Krishna. Krishna is the supreme giver, the supreme appreciator, the most grateful person you can imagine. Do this even a little bit of devotional service, Krishna is pleased and satisfied. Even if it's not pure devotional service. But that's the beginning, that's the means. So we came down to this material world for the purpose of feeling what it's like to be a Lord, to be important, to be glorified, to be honored. We want, as I've said before, you want to be most beautiful because people will look at you, or most handsome because people will stare at you and you feel important. You feel like the Lord that you came here to be. So, beautiful, or you wealthy. Everyone talks about a person who's a billionaire like Bill Gates. His name is often in the paper, newspapers or on television, because he's very, very wealthy. And there are a number of other people who are extremely wealthy, and people talk about them. And so you come into this world in order to be able to get talked about, to become famous, to be honored, to be applauded, and then you feel that somehow your purpose in being in this world is fulfilled. It's not. And we'll get into that in a few moments. So whether it's beauty, whether it's wealth, whether it's strength, whether it's influence, you achieve certain pinnacles. You may be a president, you may be a prime minister, you might be a king. All these have a certain amount of pleasure, but the pleasure doesn't last. It's, for example, after you achieve some particular goal, whether it might be getting a Porsche car, you've been saving up and working two or three jobs, and finally you got it, and now you have this pleasure, you drive down the street, and everybody goes, wow, hey, incredible. And you feel like you really have a meaningful life because people are talking about you, whereas before nobody ever even looked at you because you drove around in an old Toyota. So now you're a star, so to speak, of the neighborhood or the community. But what happens is that then Mr. So-and-so, he gets a Lamborghini. And where are you now? Lamborghini is a very expensive car, extremely expensive. It does much more, I believe, than Porsche. So where are you now? So now if you want to beat him, you've got to get something even higher than him, maybe a Rolls Royce. So this is the misery that a human being goes through, always trying to be a star, being important, being glorious, being wonderful, so that this is all of the false ego. The false ego, as we know that concept, means basically that I think I am this body, and through and with this body, I will achieve some kind of lordship by my efforts. And whenever, as I just mentioned a few moments ago, whenever somebody glorifies me or honors me or gives me a big wow, I feel that I have achieved some lordship. But as I said, after a while, the taste, the pleasure, the tang, it begins to wear off. And when it wears off, we feel flat. We feel empty. We feel like there's something missing. And what is missing? What is missing, of course, is real happiness, true happiness. Not the temporary, not the partial, not the incomplete happiness that we get from all of these different material pleasures. They only give us a sense, as I said, of lordship, but that lasts us only as a short amount of time. As soon as the emptiness sets in, the next question is, well, how do I get my next fix or my next charge to feel like a lord? Do I become famous? Do I enter politics? Do I become a movie actor? Do I become a famous sports star? What do I do? Because I'm feeling empty now. And I've gotten used to, I love that taste of being honored, of being glorified, of being applauded, and I don't have it now. So we find that even among many of our very well-known and very accomplished actors and actresses and political persons, what is their next, if they're not getting what they're looking for from even their professions, even though they may have achieved a very high level in it, well then, the next step is they need to get something to give them a rush, to give them a stimulation, to give them some pleasurable agitation. And where do you get that? Well, they go to alcohol. They go to drugs, different kinds of drugs nowadays. Now there's so many drugs. But the old standbys are still there. The heroin, and they go to cocaine, and marijuana, and amphetamines, and all of these things, like this very famous actor, Philip Hoffman, who he just, in fact, he was found with the needle, heroin, with the needle in his arm from a heroin overdose. This is a very accomplished actor, one of the best that there are. And all the fame that you can ever imagine. But he wasn't really happy. He wasn't happy. And then you have people like, you know, Jimi Hendrix. They're not happy in their heart. And you have other actors and actresses. They achieve this level, but there's an emptiness. And that emptiness is not being filled up, so they try to fill it up with the drug. And then what happens is that the drug gives them a rush. It gives them some initial or temporary satisfaction, but then it wears off. And then slowly but surely you become addicted. And when you become addicted, you can't live without the drug, because if you don't have it, then you have the withdrawal symptoms. Withdrawal symptoms are painful. You begin sweating, you begin shaking and shivering, your teeth, you can't stand up, you got a headache, it feels like 10 tons are on your head. By the way, I'm not one of those, if I sound like, if I sound like I actually never took any of those things. But, you know, I've seen enough. You see enough movies, you know, and all these things. You can just see all the withdrawal symptoms of these poor people. I remember many, many years ago in the 50s, there was a movie called The Man with the Golden Arm, and Frank Sinatra was the star of it. And I remember going to that. I wasn't a devotee at that time. And, this is what the symptoms. And once those symptoms, they're so painful, so overcoming, so overwhelming that you have to take it in order to relieve the symptoms. And the only way you can get free of that is that they put you in a cell and that you literally go cold turkey for a certain amount of time. And then finally, you slowly but surely, you are able to withstand it. And then they give you some other drug which gradually takes you off the main one. The important point is that it does not bring the happiness that they're looking for. It only brings a temporary fix. So what we have here, I didn't even get into the rest of the purport. Excuse me about that. That's an offense to Prabhupada. But that's the basic idea of that verse. I felt they wanted to. Therefore, it is advised that active persons engage in activities in Krishna consciousness, which are called yajna, because they will gradually come to the platform of devotional service. So this is what Srila Prabhupada is urging. He's saying we should all chant Hare Krishna, because Krishna is non-different from his name. Ram is non-different from his name. And what are they? They are pure transcendence. And when we chant their name, especially if you chant it sincerely, you chant it energetically, you chant it enthusiastically, as we had just seen in the kirtan a few minutes back, when it's chanted with the whole heart, ready to give up your life chanting. That's the feeling I got for a few moments ago. That really, that this is, take me now, Krishna, because this is the best time. You see, when you have that kind of attitude, Krishna sees and he takes notice of it, and he floods you and fills you with a tremendous amount of ecstasy, which then works on the previous ecstasy, and then the new ecstasy works on the previous one, and you just can't stop it, and you don't want to stop it, and that's the kind of addiction we want to achieve. Okay. He's not paid to say that. So that's the kind of addiction that we want. Addiction to Krishna, addiction to the spiritual master who brings us to Krishna. I came to Krishna consciousness. There were a number of factors, but the major factor was the two silver-covered Krishna books that I got. And I was in another different ashram. I was already a leader in an impersonalistic yoga camp. And I read those books, and I said, wow, this is where I want to be. You see? And I gave all that up. I had a temple all waiting for me in Mussoorie, India. 7-story temple. My name was on the gate. And then when I began reading this, I said, no, I'd be cheating myself. All I'd have is a temple there. All I'd have is bricks and mortar. All I'd have is people worshiping or honoring me. But I wouldn't have love of Godhead. And this Srila Prabhupada, he's offering, he's giving, he's sharing love of Godhead through the chanting of the holy name. So I said, well, forget it. I'm going to join the Hare Krishna movement. And that's what I did. I came, I remember. Anyway, so I'm just trying to emphasize that Srila Prabhupada has given us something so precious, so great, so wonderful, that there are no words that can express the value of it. Impossible. Because it has created transformations within the heart. And when the heart is transformed from filthy and dirty, meaning attractions which do not help us, but rather bind us to this material world, rather he has given us the attraction of Krishna, the pastimes of Krishna, the associates of Krishna, the Dhamma of Krishna, which as we focus upon and as we read about and as we remember, this helps to purify our mind and purify our heart, purify our consciousness. And the result of that is that you just want to be with Krishna and persons like Srila Prabhupada, divine beings, because they are pure, they are pure, they are purposeful, and they are full of true and genuine happiness and can truly lead us upward. Not what you're finding out in the material world. So, in other words, Srila Prabhupada is a transcendental person. This is to say that the plane of his mind is not on the material plane. It's on the spiritual plane. And this means he's in touch with Krishna. This means when he speaks, when he glances, when he smiles, he showers you with the nectar of the eternal world. And to the degree that we are receptive, to the degree that we are sensitive, we can discern, we can perceive that, yes, I am being bathed by Krishna's representative, or Krishna bathing me through his representative, Achinta Beda Beda Tattva. So, let me read on. Let me see which time we have. Oh, we still have a few minutes yet. Yeah, huh? Okay, let me get the next one. Yajna means Lord Vishnu, the Yajna Purusha, the enjoyer of all sacrifices. Bhuktaram yajna tapasam sarva loka maheshwaram. Anyone like to give a translation of that? Go ahead, Pramod.
One who understands me to be the source of all
It's okay. Yes. So materially, yeah. Very good. Thank you. Yeah, I just learned the short version. One who knows Krishna as the supreme enjoyer, the supreme proprietor, and the supreme friend of all, attains peace from the pangs of material existence. But what you have quoted is directly from the Bhagavad Gita, and I thank you for that. So the important point is that that's the way that we become free of all the miseries of this material world. To recognize that Krishna is the supreme enjoyer, I'm not the one who should be getting the enjoyment. Whatever pleasure is offered to me, you have the right to perform your prescribed duty, but you're not entitled to the fruits of action. Never consider yourself to be the cause of the results of your action. Never be attached to not doing your duty. So if I'm not the real cause of the results of the action, then who is? It is Krishna is. He's the ultimate determiner. He's in our heart. He sees what we need. So, therefore, the fruits, whatever fruits we have, whether it's money, whether it's an actual fruit, whether it's success, whether it's power, we must always recognize that all this does not belong to me. For example, let's say you suddenly inherit $10 million. So if you truly understand this philosophy, the first thought in your mind is, no, I didn't inherit anything. I'm simply the caretaker of Krishna's wealth. And that's the only attitude we can have. I am his caretaker. I am to take care of it and utilize it in such a way that he will be glorified, he will be honored, he will be applauded, he will be bowed down to, and he will be read about. That's the attitude that a devotee has. So that's what Srila Prabhupada did. Millions of dollars flowed in, and what did he do? He printed books and set up more and more temples. In other words, money was not wasted in any fruitive activities or some sense pleasure or sense gratification of any sort. He was very, very watchful of every penny, that every penny should go for and go to the Supreme Lord Krishna. And that is what he hammered out. He said, we have to give up this attitude that this is mine or I own it. It belongs to me, I, me, and mine. This has to be given up. It all belongs to Krishna. The body is Krishna's. Your home is Krishna's. Your bed is Krishna's. Your clothes belong to Krishna. So when we have this sense that everything I have, everything I use, is to be used for the pleasure of Krishna because he is the ultimate owner. He feeds me. He clothes me. He shelters me. When I'm sick, he gets me medication. He gives me health. He gives me strength. He gives me vitality. He gives me success. He also gives me failure, whatever is necessary for my further advancement. Sometimes devotees, they come and they complain, well, how come I'm not succeeding in this? How come Krishna is not allowing me to, I don't have any money. I have no possessions. My father disowned me. Well, that means you're becoming a real devotee. The sign of the first installment of Krishna's mercy for a devotee is that he takes away all of his possessions, especially his opulence and his wealth. Why? And because devotional service means that we should be in a helpless condition. Helpless for what? Just so that we could look like a good for nothing? No. Helpless so that we can go to Krishna and beg him for service. And in begging him for service, he will provide that service. And through that service, we will feel a joy, a happiness, a pleasure, a fulfillment that we could never have by merely having lots of wealth or lots of power or lots of opulence. It doesn't mean anything. The only time it means something is if it's being used for Krishna's service. Then you feel very wonderful within. The chanting has to be for the glorification of Krishna. I chant not just for my own advancement, but to show Krishna I'm very grateful that he deserves my glorification. Who else should I give it to? And we thank Srila Prabhupada for introducing us to Lord Sri Krishna. That way, Krishna is pleased by the very fact that we are expressing not just his name, but we're expressing our gratitude. We're expressing our appreciation. We're expressing our glorification for him. So the holy name takes on a much broader significance than merely getting the rounds over with. This is not what it's supposed to be. When we chant, as Srila Prabhupada so ably and wonderfully has mentioned over and over again, when we chant, it should be like a child crying out for its mother. That means there should be an urgency there, a certain sense of desperation there, because, and as Srila Prabhupada mentioned over and over, death may take you over at any given moment. And we don't know when that moment is going to come. Therefore, we should savor every moment. We should relish it as an offering to the Supreme Lord and know that we have been gifted, we have been graced, we have been benedicted to be able to even know this and even do this. When you can actually give your money or give boga or dress the deities or do any of these things which will give pleasure to the Supreme Lord, that is beneficial to the devotee especially. So I'll read one more. I'm not going to be able to finish the whole purport, but there's one or two other points that need to be made. According to Vedic principles, everyone must act according to his classification as Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Brahmachari, Grahastha, Vanaprastha, or Sannyasi. Everyone should progress toward perfection by acting in such a way that Krishna will be pleased. Sam siddhya hari toshanam. One cannot please Krishna by sitting idly. One must act according to the directions of the spiritual master for the sake of pleasing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then one will gradually come to the stage of pure devotional service as confirmed in the Srimad Bhagavatam 1.5.12. Naishkaram yam apyachuta bhava varjitam na shobate jnanam alam niranjanam. Which means, knowledge of self-realization, even though freed from all material affinity, does not look well if devoid of a conception of the infallible God. Jnanis recommend that one adopt naishkarmya by not doing anything, but simply meditating and thinking of Brahman. But this is impossible unless one realizes Parabrahman, Krishna. If there is no Krishna consciousness, any kind of activity, be it philanthropic, political, or social, simply causes karma bandhana, bondage to material work. And that's what I've been trying to emphasize, that even no matter what we do, if we do it for our own self, we do it for our own glory, we do it for our own honor, then what happens is it will leave us flat and empty. It will not allow us to have the happiness that the soul is always yearning for but never finding. So why is the soul yearning? Because the soul by nature is always blissful. It's always peaceful. It's knowledgeable. That's when it's in connection with. That's when it's associating with. the Supreme Lord Krishna and his great devotees. But when it's covered over, then what happens is that it's only access to pleasure is through the five senses, the mind, and the intelligence. And this is a very, very shallow, very limited type of happiness, one which leaves so much to be desired. As it's, Lord Chaitanya mentioned, glory to the Sri Krishna Sankirtan, which cleanses the heart of all the dust accumulated for years and extinguishes the fire of conditional life of repeated birth and death. The Sankirtan movement is the prime benediction of humanity at large because it spreads the rays of the benediction moon. It is the life of all transcendental knowledge. It increases the ocean of transcendental bliss and enables us to taste the nectar for which we are always anxious. There it is, right there. We cannot get that nectar by merely working for ourselves or for our own families, our own community, our own city, our own state, our own basketball team. You know, I live in L.A., so I'm a Laker fan. Then I moved to New York. Then I'm a New York, whatever the name. What's your name? Anyway, then I'm that fan. You keep changing your hat according to the state or the city that you live in. This is nonsense. Or if you get tired of your team is always losing, then you move out of that state and you move to the state that won the tournament the last year. So that you can feel by extension, because they represent an extension of your own body, since you now live in that city, you live in that area, and they have the name L.A. Lakers or whatever it is, then you're in Los Angeles. So this is crazy. It's identifying ourselves with something that is not really us. As Krishna, as Arjuna, he asked this question. He said, how can you tell whether a person is in transcendence? How does he walk, and how does he sit, and how does he speak, and what is his language? How can you tell if a person is in transcendence? And Krishna says, when a man gives up all varieties of sense gratification, which rise from mental concoction, and when his mind thus purified finds complete satisfaction in the self alone, that's the soul and the super soul, the self alone, then he is said to be in pure transcendental consciousness. So that's where the happiness has to be. As we associate with Krishna more and more, he infuses his love into the soul, and the soul feels that love in the form of bliss. It may be a little bit, it may be more, it may be greater, but ultimately the soul begins to feel full, blissful, satisfied, complete, because it's like a fish that's been out of water and flip-flopping, feeling like it's dead, but then it gets back into the water, it feels normal. You get back into the water of transcendental bliss, which is our true nature. And it's only natural to want to be happy because that's our true nature. But if we don't have it, then we try to accomplish it through artificial means. We must give up the artificial means because they will only lead us to what I've already described is more artificial means such as drugs and such as alcohol and different forms of pleasure, or painkillers they take, which will not solve the problem of real happiness. So, Srila Prabhupada has given us the means. When we chant the holy name, let us chant it with all our heart and soul. Let us chant it thankfully and gratefully to Srila Prabhupada. Let us hear his wonderful lectures, hear his books. Remember Krishna as often as possible, not only while we're in the temple, when we're walking in the street, when we're buying our goods, when we're even talking to someone. The sense of Krishna should always be with us. And if we do that, then what we give to others will be Krishna consciousness. Even if you don't even mention his name, you will bring that mood of Krishna consciousness to the heart of that person. He will feel your calmness, your peacefulness, your affection, your warmth, your love, your patience. All these wonderful qualities will manifest through the speech. And when that does that, then you make good relationships with persons, and you can turn them on to Krishna consciousness, just as Srila Prabhupada was so kind to turn us all on, and we are so very indebted to him, we can never repay the debt, and knowing we can never repay the debt, we should nonetheless keep trying. It may seem like an exercise in futility, but it's the kind of exercise we want to be involved in. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions? Any comments that you'd like to make? Yes, Prabhuji? Yes.
This is
the internet people.
Oh, Hare Krishna.
Yeah.
So you mentioned about chanting and chanting for the pleasure of the Lord and crying like a child for its mother. So one class that Vishnu John Maharaj, when I was on the Radha Damodar party, he said, you should enter every kirtan with so much enthusiasm as if this is the last kirtan I will ever be in. Mm. He said, you should enter every kirtan because one day it will be.
Right.
So, rather, he says, and if you do that, if you enter into the kirtan, and actually Hridayananda Maharaj said that, he says, if you're in anxiety, just jump up and down in front of the deities. He says, if you don't stop, if you don't get out of anxiety, just keep jumping. So if you actually surrender, because we're pleasure-seeking beings, we all want what you were saying, full peacefulness, happiness. You don't want to feel flat. I love that, to feel flat and empty. You can do that by seeking pleasure in the holy name of Krishna. If you seek that pleasure, if you just throw, forget about illicit sex, intoxication, meat eating, gambling, forget about trying to seek pleasure from that. You dive into just seeking pleasure and chanting the holy name for the pleasure of Krishna. Mm. You will not be the loser.
Definitely not. That's a nice point. Yes, if you are chanting for the pleasure of Krishna, as I said, Krishna is not stingy. When he sees a little attempt to give him pleasure through the enthusiastic, glorifying chanting of his holy name, he then infuses into the soul his love. And when that love hits the soul, suddenly, as you say, anxiety or depression or uncertainty, you suddenly come alive. It's like, a dimmer, you turn on a little bit light, and then as you keep chanting, it gets lighter and lighter and lighter and lighter. That's the nature of Krishna, he says, well. So, there's very nicely put by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, once you chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than the straw on the street, one should be more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and should be ready to offer all respects to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly, continuously. Why? Well, you're just filled with bliss. You're in your natural condition. And being in your natural condition, like the fish, when it gets back in the water, it doesn't try to get back on the land. No, it stays in the water because it feels very, very comfortable because it's got gills and it doesn't have lungs like us. So similarly, although we don't have to even desire to have the pleasure, it will come automatically. Krishna will, because we don't want to even be fruitive about divine bliss, although there's nothing wrong with wanting divine bliss, especially if you're having a depressed day. But but ultimately, you don't have to desire that because Krishna will make sure that you have it. There are times he will withdraw it too, because he will test your faith. Do you want him just for bliss? Do you want him just for peace? Well, that's a little bit fruitive. We want him because he deserves our entire energy, love, our energy, our love, our consciousness, our surrender, and our complete sacrifice. He deserves it because he owns it, whether we recognize it or not, or whether we acknowledge it or not, it's his. And so when he sees that after month, he's not giving you any divine bliss, I mean, that this can happen. So I'm preparing you. It can happen, and you say, well, what's happened? Is Krishna, he's no longer cares for me, or he's no longer consoling me, he's no longer affectionate towards me? Have I done something wrong? Not necessarily. The faith is tested, and sometimes after many months, you just go on and on. I don't care, bliss or no bliss, I am his, now and forever. You can kill, like Lord Chaitanya says, you can embrace me, or you can kill me. Whatever you want to do is your business, because I belong to you. So, therefore, that removes us from the fruit of mentality of even wanting the divine bliss. Rather, we just want to be the eternal servants of Krishna. Bliss or no bliss, just let me serve you now and forever, and I will be completely satisfied. So, any other? You had a question, Prabhu?
No.
No? Okay, so then I will release everyone for breakfast. And thank you all very much for your kind attention. All glories to Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Srimad Bhagavatam ki.
Jai.
Hare Krishna.
Amala Bhakta Prabhuji ki. Jai.